Hi, men. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, author of Grace-Based Recovery, and I'd love for you to join us in one of our upcoming online study groups. These eight-week groups take you through all the key principles of recovery from the Grace-Based Recovery book in a small group setting with other men on the same journey. The format is really simple and secure. We keep the groups to 10 men max, and we meet online in a private video room, so your story is safe with us. These groups are led by men who have traveled this road themselves and know firsthand how grace is the true engine of recovery and life transformation. I encourage you to take your next best step to freedom, joy, and peace. Register now for the next Grace-Based Recovery Group. We can't wait to connect with you. To register, go to bebroken.org/GBR. That's bebroken.org/GBR, or you can call us at 210-822-8201. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR podcast. You know, we are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and at Be Broken, we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, I sit down with Sathya Sam. He's the founder of Deep Clean, and we discuss his journey from porn addiction to freedom and personal growth. Sathya shares how he struggled with ineffective solutions and the shame tied to his addiction. But over time, he realized true recovery meant focusing on personal and spiritual development rather than just quitting porn. We actually explore the connection between physical well-being and mental health, emphasizing how activities like exercises and journaling can aid recovery. Sathya also highlights the importance of understanding one's identity and purpose, offering us some practical steps for overcoming shame and fostering a healthier lifestyle. So I encourage you to join us for a powerful and inspiring conversation on whole man healing. For more information on Sathya and some of his resources, visit deepcleancoaching.com. For additional resources, visit our website at bebroken.org or check out all the links and other resources that we're going to put into today's show notes. And you know it, friends, I'm going to ask you to please rate and review the podcast after listening because, believe it or not, this really does help others find it. Now, let's dig into today's super helpful conversation with Sathya. Well, all right, we got Sathya Sam with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man, especially after that breakfast.
Yeah. So this is fun for me because a lot of my interviews with people other than Steven Cervantes, who literally lives here in town, and he's kind of my co-host on a lot of these podcasts.
Right.
It's all remote. It's all over, you know, video. And so it's kind of cool that we get to have you in person.
I know.
Here today.
This is a treat, man. Likewise, we've done a couple of virtual interviews, but there's nothing like being in person together.
Yeah. So I'd love for especially any of our newer listeners that maybe haven't heard some of our previous podcast with you.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to just kind of share a little bit about you and your ministry that you have, your work that you do, and then we'll dive into some other questions.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a recovered porn addict. I was addicted to porn for 15 years. Grew up in a pastor's home. I became a pastor myself even while I was struggling. And so I was a fourth generation pastor. So I was the kid who was just set up to have a good life and not get wrapped up in this stuff. And I know you know all about that. My journey with Deep Clean, the organization I've started now that's helped, you know, 1,000+ men quit pornography, really started in the peak of my own struggle. I was a committed Christian. I was leading worship. I was very involved in the church, and I was determined to quit pornography. My intents were good. My determination was there. I wasn't 50% in. I was all in. And the solutions that were being provided to me, both inside the church and outside, were totally ineffective. You know, it was pray more about it, get the deliverance prayer, join an accountability group. And not that any of those things really are bad. In fact, they're all great. But they just weren't effective enough for my situation. And so that really is what caught me figuring out, like, okay, well, how does somebody actually get free? You know, because I had friends of mine who were even, they're not watching anymore, but you can kind of tell they're like, they're sort of miserable about it. You know, they're white knuckling. they're always one bad decision away from just losing it all. Yeah, and yeah. I didn't really want that either, you know? So I just couldn't find the thing that I was looking for. And so I did eventually find freedom. I had my last relapse February 2016, and I built Deep Clean to create that solution that I always wanted for, you know, all the other men out there who maybe still hadn't found their place to freedom. So that's what Deep Clean is. We were started in 2018, and we've been able to really, I guess, just carve a spot in this niche. I think it's ever expanding. You know, more people are struggling, getting exposed to porn at younger ages, watching more of it, and so we've just been fortunate to help more people and just to continue on this path and try to make the world a better place. Really,
yeah. So it's rare. I can count on one hand maybe the number of guests that I would have on the program that I'd go, hey, let's just turn on the mics and then sort of see what happens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we use a lot more prep, you know, and there's very specific questions, or we're going to talk about a specific topic.
Yeah.
But I feel like you, because of your own story and because of what you're doing, you know what you're talking about. So I feel like it's safe enough to just turn
we'll
on
find
the
out,
mics
I guess.
And
yeah.
Let's go. Because I want to kind of build off of what you just said there about even your own journey. And maybe we can get to some questions more about like even what you're really passionate about right now.
Sure.
But what was, if I could put it the question this way, what was your perceived, or what was the goal that you thought recovery was about before when you were doing all of the kind of, hey, I need an accountability group, I need this kind of stuff, or pray more or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what maybe shifted to what the goal you believe is now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the pain of pornography had my initial goal set to get rid of pornography. And it was like, man, I don't care if they make it illegal to produce pornography, that'd be awesome. I don't care what it is, but like, I need this out of my life. It's causing so much shame. It's causing me disconnection. I can tell it's hindering me from, you know, becoming the person that God's made me to be. And so my initial ambitions were just, I need to get this out of my life. And part of it, and you know, I love your message, the grace-based recovery, because I really needed that message. It was actually a very important part of my recovery was understanding the grace of God and what that really meant, because I had been really growing up in a performance-driven kind of mindset. And so there was a huge part of the shame was not just because I struggle with pornography. A huge part of the shame was I have something in my life that is bad, and because I'm doing something bad, I am bad. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to feel good about myself again. And porn was giving me that temporarily, but I wanted to feel it, you know, sustainably. So that was my initial ambition, really and truly. I think the deeper I got into recovery, I think two things happened. Number one is the goal was a lot blurrier, actually. It wasn't so much about attaining a goal. It was a lot more about becoming the person that God had made me to be. And like I said, a huge part of that for me was breaking out of performance thinking, really understanding my identity apart from my behavior and my works. And I think the other part that kind of came, and this was maybe the only goal or ambition I had out of recovery in the latter stages, was I just wanted to get married, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just, I had this moment with a mentor of mine. This is maybe a couple years into recovery. And I remember just saying, man, I can't wait till I'm married. You know, I'm going to be having sex regularly. I'm not going to be watching any more porn. And he almost reached across the table, like ready to smack me. He was so mad. And I honestly just, in my naivety, I didn't realize what I had done or what I had said. He was like, dude, marriage is a magnifier. Like, if it's a problem now, when you're single, it's going to be a bigger problem on the other side of that covenant. And I really took that to heart. Like, I trusted him enough to know, like, okay, I think that's true. And so I actually prayed, God, whoever my future spouse is, keep her from me until I'm ready. Because I understood, like, okay, I'm not going to bring this into my marriage. And so I think that was the one thing. And it wasn't at that point in my recovery, it wasn't about, okay, I need to check this box so I can present to any girl I date, hey, I don't struggle with porn anymore. I used to, but don't worry, right. It's not in my life. It was actually, no, I need to become the kind of person who's going to attract the kind of woman that I want. And that's what recovery became. It became about my own development, my spiritual formation, and growing deeper with Jesus.
Well, you know, and a little bit of what I'm hearing from you is that both of the goals or targets were rooted in purpose, but one is a purpose of negation, and the other is a purpose of, like, what am I pursuing? What And so I'm hearing you say, hey, before it was like, get this thing out. And if you, some of the ways I like to describe it is, imagine if you were to have to write a mission statement for your life. Does any mission statement say the mission is to not, and then fill in the blank?
Right.
No. Yeah. Mission is always about, what am I going after? What am I pursuing?
That's such a good point.
It seems very subtle, like in its difference.
Yeah.
But how many recovery environments are focused on a not mission?
Let's just get it out.
And what ultimately is the, what happens over time if you have the not mentality?
Well, you just come back to it, like inevitably.
And why? Why do you keep coming back to it,
well,
you think?
I think, you know, I think what you, whatever you focus on grows. So if the goal, like if I tell you don't picture a pink elephant,
right?
You know, you're gonna picture that pink elephant because as soon as that is the object we're talking about, it doesn't really matter what the words are around it. Don't picture the pink elephant or picture the pink elephant. So I think, you know, when people obsess about like, oh, I just can't watch porn today. It's like, dude, you're missing the whole point. Like, and you might go the day without watching, which would be awesome. But why concentrate all that time and energy on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right before we turned on the mics, I was just saying, hey, we're going to talk about what you're passionate about. And you listed a couple of things. And the first thing that you talked about was just, hey, the connection between like your recovery and even just your physical body. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the porn-free body really has been on my mind for a while now. And what brought it to my attention was actually a couple client stories. So we had a guy on the mission field who came to us. He was basically about to get sent home, because his porn addiction had gotten so bad and it was affecting, you know, his ministry. So he was really desperate. And he came to us, really took the program seriously. You know, our initial intensive is about 4 months long and had great, great outcomes. We got an email from him 17 months later. And those are the emails you really want, you know. And it was just like, hey, Sathya and the team, I just want to let you guys know I've had an incredible 17 months. The family's healthy. I'm still on the missions field. You know, like he got his life back on track. And then he said something that really caught our attention. He said, and since I finished Deep Clean, I've run 2,200 miles. Never got an email like that before. And he basically went on to explain one of his long-term bucket list items was to run an ultra marathon. And once he quit porn, he just felt the confidence to kind of do that again. You know, he felt like if I could conquer porn, I can run an ultra marathon for sure. And so he started training, and between the marathons themselves and all the training, he's run 2,200 miles.
Oh my goodness.
So I just, and then these stories kind of start to pop up more. I was coaching a client just last month, and he sent me a message after I touched down here in Texas. And we were talking about, he's got a very busy mind, and he's had other addictions as well. So like, you know, there's a lot that he's working through, I'll put it that way. And he I'm sure you've heard this before, his biggest trigger is boredom.
Oh, yeah.
Boredom, right? And I put quotes around boredom for a couple of reasons these days. Number one is I don't think we're ever bored because I think we're so...
Not anymore.
No, yeah. We're so used to being stimulated that we think normal levels of stimulation are boredom. But the other thing is it wasn't about the boredom as much as it was about the isolation. And usually when he was isolated, he's a business owner. He's got, I think, three kids. They're all very active. Two kids, very active in sports though. And you know, it's just a busy household. But he said, anytime I have downtime, that's when I'm the most vulnerable. And we start talking about like, okay, well, what happens in your body? Like, what are you feeling in your body when you're in those moments? And he's like, he's explaining the stress and the angst and that tightness in my chest. And I start thinking about the business and profits and, you know, and then my wife and I are working through this thing and my kids and, you know, so it's like everything kind of floods him at once when he finally has some room to breathe. So I just asked him in the last like 12 months, when was the last time you were the most at peace? And he didn't even bat an eyelash. He's like, oh, when I go for walks in nature, by far. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, how often do you go for walks in nature? He's like, dude, it's been a long time. So I'm like, okay, next time you have a gap in your workday, just go for a walk. I'm not even telling him, don't think about the stress of work.
Right.
Don't think about, again, it's the what we were just talking about. I'm not telling him not to do stuff. Just go for a walk. And he just sent me this very long, like, he's like, dude, I've started walking just in those moments. Like, anytime I can feel it coming on, I just go for a walk. And like, I don't know what it is, but I feel in control of my life again. And my wife's noticing the differences. My kids just said like recently, like, daddy, you don't yell at us as much anymore. Like, what's going on, you know? So the body thing has just really grabbed my attention. It's not something that we were trying to contrive, really. Kind of happened by accident. But very interesting just to see And now I can't ignore it. It's like when you buy a car and then all of a sudden it's everywhere on the road. And it's kind of the same thing. I'm going back through testimonials we've had of the clients we've helped. And I'm like, wow, there's actually so many cases where guys quit porn and then they start working out. They start taking care of their body better. They start eating better. Like it's, you know, it's different for everybody, whether you're running ultra marathons or just going mm-hmm. for walks when you're stressed. But that link with the body, I think, is inextricable. And this answer is getting a bit long, but if you look at the biblical part of it, you know, like 1 Corinthians 6, classic text for our work, mm-hmm. right? All about sexual immorality. And but the other major tie is the body, right? And Paul talks so much in that scripture about taking care of the body mm-hmm. and the intersection between the physical realm, the body, and the spiritual realm, you know, and how sex kind of unites those two fronts. And so it makes sense that when people quit porn and take care of this area of their life, naturally their body's going to respond positively. I've just noticed it at a completely different level of late.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a little bit. What are some of the things that are even maybe happening neurochemically mm-hmm. that help to reset our brains even to their normal healthy state?
Yeah.
When we are engaging our body in those types of just exercises of a sort,
yeah,
versus when we are hyperstimulating it through pornography.
Yeah, well, you know, that I think that's what it boils down to. We use red zone and green zone language. So red zone is I'm in fight or flight, I'm distressed, I'm hyperactive, I'm seeking stimulation, and green zone is that regulated state. And when you're in a regulated state, that's when you're thinking more clearly, mm-hmm. that's when you're present in the moment. You have a sense of long term and what are some of the impacts or ramifications of my decisions. And I just don't think as a culture, even if we were to broaden this and not just talk about pornography addiction, but just talking about people who have a phone in their hands and a couple apps on it, whether it's email or social media or news, we're not in that rest and digest phase very often. And so what happens then is when you kind of get chronically in your red zone, or your red zone starts to feel normal, is people actually start to get afraid of the green zone. They get afraid of silence. They get afraid of literally peace, the thing that God's wired us for. And so I think that's why it's such a big deal, because when people learn to take care of their bodies, there's a much greater degree of regulation. Like being regulated, being in that green zone becomes normal for you. I think that's the first thing. But I think the second thing is maybe not as neurochemical as much as it is psychological, in the sense that you start to value the body differently. You know, when I was addicted to porn, the people I watched on the screen, even though I was looking at someone's body, it was really just an object. It was an object for my own gain. But when God really changes your heart, you can't look at, it's impossible to see people that way. You see them as people that have intrinsic value made in the image of the living God. And if that's true of them, it's true of you as well. And so I think there's something that happens psychologically where people say, wow, I don't objectify people anymore. You know, other people are not an object for my pleasure or my own gain. And therefore, if their bodies are valuable, my body's valuable too. And for some people, that means they eat better. For some people, it means they run ultra marathons.
And I think it's important. I think it's really important for Christians to hear this message, because whether we realize it a lot or not, there's still a lot of what we would call Gnosticism in the church, this idea of the separation between the spiritual and the physical, and everything that's physical is bad, everything that's spiritual is good. And we don't realize the subtlety with which that is still coming through in our sexual brokenness.
Yeah.
And so the message that can get reinforced through habitual pornography use is this idea of bodies are just to be consumed. In fact, it's just flesh. It's bad. And then that gets translated to your own sense. So then even just normal sexual desires mm-hmm. and feelings mm-hmm. are now somehow seen as bad. How does some of this just healthy use of the body mm-hmm. start to help to retrain our brains to see our whole selves as valuable and good?
Yeah, well, and I think that this is where it boils down, because you can't talk about sexuality without talking about the body. Like, it's crazy that we'd even try to separate those concepts, right? They're so inextricably linked. So I think when somebody has this psychological shift and they have a value for the body, you inherently have a value for your sexuality as well. And if you're living in that mindset of every time I have a temptation, I just ignore it. Every time that, you know, if it's all about suppression
or beat myself up,
Exactly, right? Or the self-deprecation, anytime you have that kind of thinking, you're getting outside of your body. You're neglecting the things that are going on within. You know, and it's one of the greatest discoveries that's come out of sexuality research the last two decades, is just that the things that we're actually drawn to, the content we watch, that there's clues and there's themes and there's patterns in what we are drawn to. And if we're willing to actually lean into it instead of ignore it, like maybe the church has told us to do, but if we actually lean into it and pay attention, there's some incredible insights into what our solutions are. And so I think similarly, you know, I think about my own journey. I quit pornography, and I very quickly after I quit pornography, I wanted to start working out. And it wasn't even a bucket list thing, although I had always thought about it, but it was just that I like my body. And so I want to work out. And because I started to like my body, that meant I also embraced my sexuality, my desires, the experiences I had had, good and bad. It gave me a different appreciation for them. And so I think, you know, if we're really going to talk about actual freedom, that's the word that I always use, is freedom from pornography. I know some people use like outgrowing porn or, you know, whatever, but freedom for me is the word that I always come back to. And if we're talking about actual freedom, I think that's it. It's having no fear, no hiddenness around your sexuality, really being able to embrace it full on. And when you love your body, when you love the human body and you have an appreciation for it, that just happens as a natural byproduct.
How do we do that? Let's start to get practical. How do we do that in a way that still guards our heart from idolatry?
Yes.
Because, you know, on one hand, in a sort of this negative, twisted way through pornography, we've got an idol there, right? We're making maybe the feelings and the pleasure of sex into an idol.
Yes.
But then sometimes if we start to shift and go, wait a second, the body's good. It's good that I have some of these feelings. It's good that I was made this way, male or female. And how can we guard then against taking that to the extreme of then going, no, well, look, I'm idolizing my body rather than keeping it in its proper context of it's good, but it's not ultimate.
Yeah. Imago Dei. You know, that's what comes back to mind for me. You know, the idea that we're all made in the image of God. I think if we have this conversation without being made in God's image, it is inherently idolatry. It's Gnosticism. It's even hedonism. You know, it's all about the body and whatever the body wants. I think God at the center of this conversation, and the idea that we're all made in God's image, is what allows us to have proper perspective. And if you think about it, if you just think about the body that way, through that lens of it's made in God's image, that should pretty much filter out anything that would be harmful or anti-biblical for sure. You know, anything that I think would be more idolatrous is probably filtered out when we see it through the lens of this body's made in the image of God. That should pretty much dictate what's right and what's not as far as how you treat it.
Well, and then even going back to that 1 Corinthians 6, it ends, therefore honor God with your body.
Right.
So there's a sense in which I can start to filter and go, what are the things that I'm consuming? What are the things, not just like food, but with my eyes or whatever?
Yeah.
How am I using my body? How am I stewarding it? That's a huge part of it, right?
With
the stewardship idea that even again, that 1 Corinthians 6, it makes you realize, wow, you know, the purchase that Christ made on the cross for me was not merely spiritual. He bought my body too. So how does maybe even that reframe? Well, let's try to get practical, because a lot of the elements we're talking about here, there's an underlying shame aspect to it, right?
Yeah.
Not only maybe with the pornography use, but then also how one is going to view their own body.
Yeah.
What are some practical ways to overcome that shame and then start to steward our bodies in new ways and see it in new ways? Like, what are some maybe things that you teach or help guys to interact with so that they can really take practical steps towards changing that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I have a friend. He's very well educated, a very experienced clinical psychologist, and he grew up in the church with a lot of shame messages around sexuality. And he's been married for I think maybe almost two decades, a couple kids. Like I said, very successful in his career. And we were talking, this is a little while back now, we were talking about sex, and he said, dude, I still sometimes feel guilty about having sex with my wife. And, you know, we just got talking about that. You know, how do you break out of the shame, you know, especially when it's so ingrained from an early age? And I think the thing that I come back to again and again when it comes to de-shaming is you got to talk about it. You got to bring the dark things to light. And whether that means you talk to somebody who's trained, like a counselor or a coach or a therapist, whether you talk to your peers, or like for me, I honestly didn't know who I could trust to actually talk to when I first started in recovery. So I just journaled, and my journaling was talking to God. You know, I did it in kind of a conversational tone. But I think that's one of the best ways to start de-shaming. And especially if you're feeling stuff around your body, being able to articulate what you're feeling and writing it out, that's actually really, really powerful.
And the interesting thing is, especially if you're doing it like with pen and paper, mm-hmm. you're using your body
right.
to even write those things out, right?
It's a bodily practice. It's a really good point. Really good point. Another thing that we used to do this early on with clients is I call it mirror therapy. And mirror therapy was getting in front of a mirror, looking yourself in the eyes, and being able to speak truth, speak life. Kind of based on that concept that like the eyes are the window to the soul. And it was sort of like a secondary take on affirmations. Instead of just speaking stuff out loud, look yourself in the eyes and speak the words of it. And some guys actually took that to another level, and they stood in front of the mirror without wearing anything to look at their bodies and to speak life over their bodies and really start to change that inner narrative around it. And people are probably going to hear that and be like, I'll never do that. You know, like that's good for those guys. I want to challenge the people who are listening though. If you really want to break out of shame, you're going to have to do something uncomfortable. And if you think about that, that's actually a pretty low risk activity. Lock your bathroom door, make sure there's no chance of being caught up. But seriously, like when you can look at yourself and really start to actually like, okay, I'm confronting my body as it is. I'm talking positively, or I'm speaking the truth about what this body was made in God's image. This body is fearfully and wonderfully made. When you can start to do that, I'm telling you that there may not be a faster way to actually start hurdling the shame.
And I think there's a huge need for that, because we are needing to reassociate our bodies with the Imago Dei versus our sexual sin and our shame and all that. And I like to think of it this way, you know, we are already naked before God, but many times we're naked and ashamed.
Yeah.
Whereas if you think about what we are originally designed for is to be naked
right.
and unashamed in the presence of God.
Yes.
And so there's a sense in which the exercise that you're saying there, well, I know that that's going to feel very awkward for some, and especially since maybe the only time that these men are naked behind a locked bathroom door is not for the purposes of being unashamed.
Yeah.
It's for the purpose of doing many shameful things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that exercise could be a very tangible way of reassociating. One of the things that I just recently encouraged a guy to do this, because he was feeling all those aspects of shame and just feeling completely worthless, even in his body. And I told him for the next week, I said, listen, this may be uncomfortable, but I want you to do it. Is I said, I want you to stand in front of a mirror and I want you to have Psalm 139 out. And I want you to read that entire psalm over yourself as you look. And don't be shy of going from the scripture and then looking at yourself when you say that, because that's literally the word of God being spoken over how valuable and how much he knows you and how intimately he's created and crafted you.
Yes.
So I think that's a huge thing, even though I know that we probably made a lot of our listeners right now very uncomfortable with that. Maybe a lot of the wives may be very uncomfortable with that, because they're experiencing, my goodness, everything my husband's done behind closed doors has been, you know, shameful.
Yeah.
So if that's too much, what Sathya is saying here, start with your clothes
on. Start journaling. Or there you go. Yeah, you can start that way. Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we don't even look ourselves in the face.
Yeah.
Right? Forget the whole body.
Yes.
We don't even look ourselves in the face.
No, exactly.
I avoided mirrors for the whole year before I actually got into recovery.
Yeah.
I progressively avoided mirrors because I was so self-loathing.
Yes.
I didn't want to look at myself.
Can't even look at yourself. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. It's the thing that you hear and you think, okay, I'll do everything else, but I'm not going to do that. But it's probably the one thing that everybody really should do if they want to overcome shame.
What are some other things that we have a few more minutes left? As you think about, again, trying to, I guess you could say, reclaim a right view of the body, and maybe even not just a right view, but a right stewardship of the body. What are some other practical things that help in that?
Yeah. So I think if we go back to the conversation of kind of transferring from I objectify bodies, other people's bodies serve my needs and my, you know, my desires, to, okay, people are made in the image of God. I have a value for the human body, whether it's somebody else's body or it's my own. I think the next thing that comes naturally is then, how do I take care of my body? And this is very practical. People probably wouldn't expect to be talking about this on a podcast like this, but like, to me, that means sleep, diet, and exercise. And again, just so many stories of guys quitting porn and then also like quitting that kind of sugar addiction that they also knew they always had, you know. Or like I said, I started lifting weights. That was just something that happened naturally. I wanted to take better care of my body. So I think those things start to become a big deal. But I'll tell you, like, diet and exercise, obviously contentious, like not the easiest things for people to get on board with. But if there's one thing I was going to stress more than anything else, it'd be sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep is such a big deal, and we don't realize how much our sleep is compromised when we're watching pornography. A lot of people watch late at night or early in the morning, so both of those things are going to affect your sleep. Screens, blue light, all that kind of stuff can affect the quality. But then even just the state it has in your brain, it really does affect sleep quality, and poor sleep is really the starting point of all bodily decline. So for guys that are really serious, and even if you want to do something completely physical that seems not sexually related at all to set yourself up for success and recovery, just sleep yeah. better, and sleep 8 hours a night. Those things go a long way.
And I would add to that, because as a guy in my 50s, get regular checkups with your doctor and do blood yeah. work, do all those kind of things, because sometimes there's things that even when we're doing those, you know, diet, sleep, exercise, we might not be able to detect if yes. there is something out of whack in yes. our bodies and our systems. So, and I don't think, you know, sometimes again, we want to get super spiritual advice, right? We want to say, but the reason I wanted to go to the place of the stewardship and what you just mentioned there was because sometimes we can actually start to have in our minds a proper view of our bodies, but that doesn't automatically mean that we're going to use our bodies or steward them in a way that's really healthy. And so it's important to take some of those next steps. Any last things that you want to share about just this like body connection to recovery and why it's so important that we not just set it aside and think it's merely a spiritual mental thing?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that comes to mind, actually, this is in 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's 17. It says, he who is joined to the Lord is one with him. Something that I'm paraphrasing now. But the Greek word there for the word joined means to glue. Mm. And, you know, if people get nothing else from this this episode today, the thing I hope people get is, when we talk about sexuality and the sort of spiritual element of sexuality and the physical element, it's really at the end of the day about union and connection. And that's what we're talking about here. And when you really value your body, the one thing we didn't really touch on is if you're in a marriage, you know, or even if you're like with your kids or with friends, your relationships can actually get stronger as well when you really value the body for what it is. Not just because you take care of your own body, but I'll tell you, like, my marriage and my sexual relationship with my wife is so much better as I have continued to heal and not objectify and embrace Imago Dei for my own body and other people's bodies. And I think that's the beautiful benefactor of all of this, in addition to quitting pornography and maybe taking better care of yourself and getting in shape, is your quality of life improves because your quality of relationships improve as well. You show up differently, you relate differently, and other people around you can feel that difference.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we were made to be known and loved, right? Yeah. And to know and love.
Yeah.
And so that's both a vertical thing with God, but it's also a human thing. And especially, like you said, in marriage, that sexual union is meant to be one of complete nakedness, not just of body, but like total personhood is now in union with this other person.
Yes, sir.
And if you've got all these little compartments that are hidden, you can't be fully known and loved, and you can't really know and fully love that other person. So this has been a great conversation. I want to point people to where they can get more information about your stuff. So where can people go to learn more about you and Deep Clean?
Yeah, Instagram is probably the best way if people want to learn more about us. I also offer like my Deep Clean system. People can just get it for free through my book. So if you just DM me book on Instagram, I'll send it over to you. That's probably the best way to get started. And then I've had you on my podcast many times, the Man Within podcast, so people can check us out there as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being with us, Sathya. It's been good to see you in person.
Yeah, really fun to meet you, man. And I'm glad that we did this.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put all of that info about Sathya and what he's got for you. But we want to help you take your next best step towards experiencing wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the PSR podcast. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.